guys. This is Jamie here at ThinkBeforeIThink.com. Welcome you to a bonus edition of Movie Moan. What basically happened was we were kind of going in on it. It was hitting the 50-minute mark around, you know, I think it was around that area, and I thought, like, let's cut it off. We had other stuff to get to. We wanted to go into an entirely other set of stuff, and I thought, let's save it for another time. And so we're literally recording this about 20 minutes after we did the last podcast, which had to do with had to do mostly with Avatar and Sherlock Holmes and whatnot, and had a really great conversation. So Phil had a whole set of items for 2009 looking back on and whatnot, so I figured this is the time to do it. And since we still have our energy up, I figured let's do it right now. And hey, what do you know, the guys were game for it. So joining me as always is our British gentleman agent, Mr. Phil G. Say hello, sir.
I'm tired. I don't want to be here. I gotta go to work. I'm fine.
Get out there and dance, damn it.
Dance, monkey. Joining us from the coast is our friend Ed Hawkins, sir.
Hello there.
And up north, Mr. Lou.
Let's do this before the Viagra wears off, guys.
Good night, folks.
All right. That's it. Have a great night.
Oh, God.
So Phil had a lot, you know, so like I said, looking back at 2009, it's kind of weird that it's over. You know, we're not going to talk about Avatar, Sherlock Holmes, and the Squeakle. We talked about those, goddammit. But really the news items of the year, and, you know, they're not in any sequential order, but for me, the number one film news item of 2009 was, bar none, it was the purchase of Marvel Entertainment from Disney. I don't think there's going to be a bigger story in retrospect than that. I don't know what do you guys think about that? Looking back,
it's a big business deal, though. I would say I think it'll be important. We'll see if it what turns out from that. We could have ourselves a potential disaster like AOL and Time Warner, but that's a bit of a stretch. We'll see what happens with if Disney uses the properties. That's gonna we'll see. You know, if that happens, then this is going to be very important stuff. There's a lot of potential here, but it's a big unknown as of yet.
Well, what's interesting is, like, they say, like, oh, well, we're going to use the second, third tier comic book characters, and they say that because they kind of have to. I mean, a lot of these other characters are owned by other companies, and
right.
I believe the way the deal goes is that they still can retain rights to the characters as long as they're still using their option. So that's why Sony went ahead and said, we're going to do Spider-Man 4 and 5 and 6 and probably 7 and 8. They didn't say 7 and 8, but you get the idea. You know, Marvel has Marvel, heavens. Fox has the X-Men franchise, and they're not relinquishing that at all because that's their gravy train for the most part. I mean, that's their big franchise now. It used to be Star Wars, and, you know, although they never really bankrolled Star Wars except for the first film – as we all know, you know, X-Men's kind of their baby. A couple of other, you know, I don't know if Universal still owns the Hulk or not. I think they do. Paramount's got there's a current distribution deal set up with Paramount that will, you know, lapse sooner rather than later. It's interesting. What do you think, Phil? Because you agreed to me. You thought this was the number one story of the year.
Well, for geeks like me, absolutely. I mean, it's kind of hard to see what's going to happen right now. It's not like Marvel was really in trouble. I mean, on the contrary, after the success of Iron Man, I mean, they're ready to go out into the world on their own. And both Jamie and I think Thor is going to be exceptionally good, and it's going to surprise a lot of people and do very, very well. We're very encouraged about that. After that, we're not so sure. But what's really interesting me, and what I said when we first talked about this, is how this is going to how Disney is going to handle Marvel from an animation perspective and a television perspective. I mean, obviously, Marvel, Pixar, people from Pixar doing a Marvel comic book character is a wet dream. We don't know if that's going to happen, but it's certainly not outside the realms of possibility. But also, it would be an interesting to see if Marvel gets back into television animation. There was a time in the early
1990s. Yes, it was. Yeah,
Marvel weren't doing films, but they were doing animation. They had the X-Men show, which, you know, I've watched that show back, and it's a good show. It's solid, but it's very badly animated.
It's very serious.
It is.
And, it's dead serious for a cartoon.
And then it kind of got, like, lost, where you could not get into it unless you'd been following the show from day one, because they really were literally doing arcing stories, and it got impossible to follow. And they did the Spider-Man show, which also got to 5 seasons and was very successful and was better animated. It was a bit weird, though. They did start to do the clones and shit. And
well, the problem with that cartoon was they had computer animation back when that was considered, like, really high-tech and stuff, and it was, like, the
now it's
remember, like, the skyscrapers were made completely from computers, and at the time, I was like, wow, look how cool this is, and you look back and go, oh, my God. It's also very...
Why do you think that's terrible? You should have seen the one-season MTV Spider-Man with the cell shading. It was horrible.
I heard it was bad. Although I hear the one that's been going on as of late, the Spectacular Spider-Man, is fantastic. That's what I hear. I don't know that...
Nah, I don't know about that.
Oh, you've seen it? I don't know.
Well, it's not for us. At this point, it's not.
So. I love cartoons. When I get home from work after, and I mean my day job as well as TMT, I will pop on a DVD of The Simpsons or something, relax, after watching the news. Because, like, one, there's nothing to watch, but it's like, I love cartoons. You know, just, you know, I have no problem watching animated shows if they're any good. I mean, are there any good kids' shows nowadays that adults could watch? I don't think so. What do you think, Luke Bird?
What do you say, Lufenberg?
Yeah. I would still go. Like, I still watch the original Johnny Quest. I mean, it's probably...
Is that still on? Oh, my God.
No, I've got it on DVD. If you can get it, it's well worth... It wouldn't fly today. It's so politically incorrect. I mean, you've got the lead characters, 10-year-old boys shooting rifles and whatnot and that, but it's just an awesome series. And it's got a great... I love the music from it. That's the kind of stuff that I would still watch. I like animated stuff, too. You know, like, I think some of the stuff that the animated Batman series, the Justice League stuff that
Bruce Timm
has been doing. He's awesome. But to circle back to the Disney buying Marvel stuff, I'm with you guys. I'm just dying to see what Pixar and Marvel could do together, like whether it's working with existing Marvel properties or between the two of them cooking up some new stuff. I'm a little bit worried, though, if this might take Pixar's focus off of what they're doing now, and maybe Pixar is going to be taking on more than they can handle, and that might be interesting to see if it affects their main line, because they've got such a successful string of movies running right now. It'd be interesting to see if somewhere down the line that this might dilute their focus a bit too much. So I'm kind of interested to see how that's going to play out.
Most definitely. Let's see, Phil, what is I started off the list. What do you have, sir?
Well, I mean, when Jamie suggested that we actually talk about the biggest stories of the year, for some reason, probably because I hate the movie so much, the first thing that popped into my mind...
Yeah, Terminator.
No, not Terminator, but the Wolverine work print leak in what has to be, I mean, you guys might disagree, but what has to be one of the biggest movie piracy breaches in the last decade, the work print of Wolverine leaked on the internet and was very, very easy to find.
Yeah.
Literally a month before release, and we had a good talk about it. I didn't see it, actually. I did not give in to piracy, mainly because I just didn't care about the movie at that point, but I actually went to watch the thing because, you know, I wanted to moan about it on the movie. On the show.
None of us watched it, the leak. No, that's pretty bad. Movie. Yeah.
But what I really stuck in my crotch, from what I heard anyway, was that they were given so much spin about how the work print wasn't finished and how, you know, there was lots of footage that was missing. And if what I've heard is true, it's not true. There was no difference. Literally, there was some temp effects, but literally the movie was the same except for the little Easter egg endings that they showed on the end. And the worst thing is, when I went to see the movie in theaters, I got the shit one. I got Wolverine at a bar instead of the Deadpool ending.
That's the one I got.
Yeah,
well, I mean,
that's when I got to the bar.
And it wasn't... Ugh. What are you drinking to forget? I'm drinking to remember. Ooh. Cut to the sequel. Which we're getting, sadly. Wolverine, whatever. It's,
Wolverine was just stupid.
It was stupid, I will give you that. But,
Terminator was annoying.
Stupidity and annoyance, which is worse? I don't know. Well, apparently,
you're annoyed the hell out of me.
Segueing to the next story, yeah. I mean,
just before we get into Terminator, so I don't want to interrupt a good segue. It's just what I found most fascinating.
Yeah, you're doing it.
I know. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Well, tell me if you agree with me. Don't you find it fascinating how, you know, we're constantly being told by the studios and by the MPAA how movie piracy is hurting the industry, blah, 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 blah. Literally, and a highly anticipated, I guess, summer blockbuster leaks, and tons of people, literally hundreds of thousands of people saw that work print.
Yeah.
And then the movie makes over $80 million in opening weekend. And it just destroys the argument for me.
Well,
they don't understand. People
it doesn't really
see crap movies.
No, see, they still they Fox still claims that it ate away their business that opening weekend. I don't believe it for a second.
Me
I mean, that it literally hit about the number everyone figured it was going to hit, regardless. Because guess what? Everyone loves the Wolverine character. They love Jackman, particularly as that, you know, they particularly love Jackman. They love the character. He finally got his own movie. It was the first movie of the summer. He promoted the hell out of it. That's about right, the number it got. In fact, it's even worse, because guess what? Avatar opened lower. Star Trek opened lower. A number of other movies opened lower, and yet they did, like, you know, five times as much business.
Here's the thing about the piracy. Now, you say it was the most important thing of the decade, but this was predicated by, you know, back in 2003 with the Hulk.
Well, of the year.
This happened before.
Oh, it did happen.
Yeah, and the other thing is that you know, people are going to see it even though there's a piracy issue because, one, most people don't have the technical ability to download. Two, it's not the same thing in quality. So most people aren't going to try and download stuff because it's too difficult or it's going to involve getting your computer infected. It's far too risky. So, unless you're technically inclined, you're not going to be able to download. So that's why you still had a lot of people going. I don't necessarily know. I think that the piracy issue is more of a problem for the foreign markets because they want to collect money, but because there's such a lag time, people in other countries are going to get it, they're going to pirate it, and then they're going to run with it. So I think that's where it's going to eat into business, not so much in the domestic market.
It's interesting. Wolverine was a worldwide release. It's the only reason I ask. You know, it came out the same day pretty much like in loads of different countries because, again, it's an anti-piracy procedure. They like to do that simultaneous worldwide day-in-day release thing, and it didn't matter. The movie was available literally in April, and it still made that. It's just weird. But anyway, I mean, let's talk about Terminator. Over to you, Lou. You hated it more than me.
Apparently.
Oh, yeah, I think it was just a fairly poor conceived. And overall, like, compared to Avatar, this Avatar is like War and Peace compared to this thing. This thing was a piece of crap from start to finish. I hated it. The last couple of scenes with Sam Worthington with that giving his heart to John Connor, like, give me a friggin' break, you know, like. It was boring. Like that's a big. I was friggin' bored through this movie, and it was dark. It was gray, and I didn't give a shit about anybody. I really hated this movie. People crap all over Terminator 3, but I'll watch Terminator 3 way more times than I'll watch this Terminator Salvation.
I agree. For me, the bigger story is that we had two franchises. They were essentially reboot / franchise revivals, as I call them. You know, about 3 weeks apart, and you know, Terminator had more going
cachet.
For it. Yeah, yep. More cachet, a lot more talent involved up front. And
except for the director.
There you have it. But I mean, it was more hyped up than Star Trek was. I mean, Star Trek had a lot of hype, but you know,
Star Trek had a lot of baggage to overcome.
It had so much baggage; it wasn't even funny. And the idea of how they were going to get away with the rebooting it by having time travel, it sounded retarded. It was dumb and stupid. Why not just restart it to begin with, like Batman and Bond did? Blah blah blah. And yet, the movie it worked. It totally worked. People ate it up. It's, you know, made about, $260 million domestic, about $400 worldwide. Sequel's going to be huge. I mean, that sequel's going to kick a lot of ass box office-wise. It could be pure shit. It doesn't matter. It's going to make a huge amount of money. It's going to make probably twice as much as the first one did because of this. And people cannot – I mean, the DVD sales are really great. Terminator, it's dead. Franchise
– And Star Trek was the most bootlegged movie of the year, I believe.
Yeah, and that kind of tells you something. It tells people wanted to see this movie more and more often. I mean, not condoning the bootlegging because I don't have a copy.
No.
I bought my copy fair and square, as did everyone here. I know you.
Actually, that's saying something for you, isn't it, Jamie? Because you don't buy a lot of films.
I don't, not anymore, sadly. But totally bought
Star Trek. Yeah.
Bet your ass I did. And I mean, I like Terminator Salvation. I thought it was okay, but Yeah, it was, you know.
Hang on, you liked it, but you don't like Avatar? Can't be explained. It can't.
I was entertained by Terminator. I just said, like, yeah, I was entertained. As I recall, that's what I said. It didn't bore me. If I remember, that's what I said. I was entertained. Nothing more, nothing less. I completely forgot about it after I walked out of the theater with Terminator. Just like Avatar.
I'm sorry, we keep talking about that again.
No, I don't care. Fuck it. It's 2009 retrospect. It's also your show. It doesn't matter. Don't apologize, goddammit.
Okay. Well, all I want to say about Terminator was, if I had to...
He has to apologize. He has to apologize.
What we do. I'm sorry. See, there you go. But what I found, if I had to pick the biggest disappointment of the year, not the worst film, because I just thought it was meh. It was so unenergetic. It's so lack life that I didn't even have the energy to hate it. It was just so meh. The biggest disappointment of the year, without a doubt, is Terminator Salvation. You know what? What makes it probably worse than a bad movie like a Wolverine or a Transformers 2 is that Terminator Salvation actually has potential.
Yes,
you
it
can
does.
Tell there's ideas there. On some which, I mean, as everybody who followed the movie knows, the ending that they had planned and then chickened out of at the last minute would have been so gloriously better. In fact, see if you agree with me on this, guys. The original ending would have been... It actually, even if we've had the movie exactly as it is, but with that ending, it would have actually... People wouldn't have hated the movie as much. Now, for you, those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, the original ending they had planned was that John Connor is going to die. Instead of transferring his heart, Sam Worthington's heart, instead what they decide to do, so John Connor's face and icon, he can live on and lead the resistance, they're going to take John Connor's face and put it on Sam Worthington to be, you know, so he can live on and people will never know. And then as soon as that's done, Sam Worthington's with John Connor's face kills everybody. And then goes off, and it looks like the machines have won. It's a very downbeat ending.
Well, there was that version, but there was also the version where it's just simply... I think the real one they were actually going to do is that, you know, he puts his face on John Connor. You know, he is now John Connor, and that's the ending. That's it.
Yeah.
I think that was the real alternative. The whole thing about him getting up and killing people, I still think that was fake.
Well,
they claim it was real.
They don't commentary.
Oh, well, God. You know, if there's anything I've learned is if McGee says something, it is fucking true. If there's anything we've learned, there is no way he wasn't lying. No, seriously, I don't buy that. I think it was a front. I think once that ending leaked, they were just like, oh, shit, let's say there are other endings, too. I don't believe that.
Well, he does show storyboards of it, but...
And storyboards can be made up very quickly. Isn't that so strange?
I guess.
Let me get this right. You hated this movie, but you bought the DVD?
No, I was given
it. Ooh.
Oh, okay.
Oh, damn it. All right. Almost had him there.
Because you're talking like...
No, I was like... No, but I did say I wanted to actually see it again. I wanted to see the Blu-ray to watch the McGee mode. I wanted to watch McGee explain himself. And did not explain himself to my satisfaction. The sentence is death. So, unfortunately, it was just deflating, man. I mean, and the worst thing is that they didn't close the book on it. It would have been fine. I just wanted Terminator 4 to close it. And instead, we're not going to get another one, and they've left it open-ended. And I have no choice now, and it's incredibly geeky of me. And I kind of liked parts of Terminator 3. But I have no choice now but to forget 3 and 4 exist and just go with the Cameron movies as the story and let it end after Terminator 2, because I'm so unsatisfied with how it ended on 4.
That's interesting. I would let it end. I would end it after 3, but
I thought it all came around with 3. I mean, like, yeah. I don't know.
The cast of 3. But then, like, that's what the Star Wars prequels. Like, to me, the Star Wars, there's only 3 movies, and with the Matrix,
same
there's
here.
Only one.
And RoboCop, there's only one.
Yeah.
Just saying, you know, RoboCop 2 is pretty bad. Yeah, it is weird how Terminator Salvation feels like an ending to the franchise. That last shot, it's just like, oh, so you're ending the franchise. And it's like, no, we're continuing with another one. And it didn't do well, so I guess it's over. I mean, the rights, that's sort of the other part of the story is the franchise rights are so entangled right now. Who owns it? I don't know. But
That means we won't see another one for a while.
We won't see it. Well, I mean, we'll see another one eventually. The question is, you know, it will not be a sequel or a continuation of sorts of Salvation. Won't see Christian Bale or Anton Yeltsin or, you know, Bryce Dallas Howard anymore.
And let's call a spade a spade. Christian Bale is not that good in this movie. I mean,
he's bored.
He was terrible. He was terrible. I mean, Anton Yelchin was probably the best character in the movie.
He's the only dude who walked away with his dignity in that flick was Anton Yelchin. I thought everyone was okay. No one sucked. But, yeah, he didn't give a shit. And that's even worse. It's like if you're bad in a movie, at least you're trying. Like, you see some...
And they stuck Michael Ironside in a fucking submarine. Like, come on. He was the guy. He's the guy. Don't lock him in a room for the whole friggin' movie. Come on.
At least he gave him work, man. It could have been worse. He'd be like, well, I could hire Michael, but I'd rather hire someone else. I'll play the character. I mean, wouldn't that have been worse if McGee had played the general instead? You know, because I just watched Extract this weekend, and I saw Mike Judd put himself in the movie. And I was like, it's not terrible. It's like, what are you doing in this movie? He couldn't find a better actor.
But then we would have seen McGee get killed. Because he gets blown up on the submarine.
And maybe that would have been a better idea, actually. So are you willing to relinquish your love for Michael Ironside, Lou, just to see McGee, quote-unquote, die?
That's pretty nasty.
Wow.
What the hell? Go for it.
Kill the fucker.
Poor Robert Patrick in there, too, and then make it a hat trick.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's the other thing. They said, like, if they had done Terminator 5, like, Robert Patrick would have shown up. It's like, no! Delete! No! Terrible idea. You know. It's what it is. But,
speaking of reboots, Oscars got one this year. I mean, that's how crazy... Well, I'll let you take over, Jamie, because you love the Oscars this year.
Well, I mean, I don't know. You seem to... I didn't even think about this idea until... I'm reading Phil's list. I'm like, what the fuck? Didn't really come to mind, but it was Hugh Jackman's hosting stint at the Oscars this year, which bumped up the ratings, I think, by, what was it, like 25% or something? Something in that ballpark? Okay, thanks anyway. He did a really good job, though. I mean, it was a very predictable year. Yeah, Slumdog won everything just about. I mean, Slumdog's a great movie. I'm not bitching about that, but... people tune in for the host and what movies they'd love to see win. People seem to like Slumdog, so it was more about seeing Hugh Jackman, a guy who everyone likes, and doing his hosting duties. And the guy was fucking phenomenal on stage. Did a great job. And, of course, he's not doing this year's Oscars. You know, it's only fitting he wouldn't come back, which I thought it was a lock. Like, oh, he'll totally come back for another one. And now he's not.
I mean, let's face it. I mean, we're all dying to see, you know, Alec Baldwin and Steve Martin do it. So I don't see a problem really.
No, I think
you mean host, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm assuming you mean by host.
Oh,
yeah, right. I'm having to do it.
Well, that's actually the sequel to It's Complicated. It stars Alec Baldwin.
Even more complicated.
Yeah. If we're talking about Alec Baldwin in his prime, Yeah, I don't know. Even then, I don't know. The whole set.
I think we made
it. He looks like how he did in Miami Blues, so. Not anymore.
So. It's so weird. At one point, Alec Baldwin was supposed to be a leading man. And just like, when did that go away? And I guess that's when the whole, like.
Ambassador got too old.
I was about to say, I guess it was that whole, you know, pissing on Jack Ryan thing kind of came back to bite him.
Yeah.
Assuming he was going to be in Patriot Games. I don't know. Was he?
I don't
know.
He did the Shadow.
I think he was set up to be, but they didn't go with him. So,
oh well, we'll never know. So we'll just get more. Ben Affleck. I mean, they were going to do another one with him, but that didn't work out. Now we got Captain Kirk playing him. So what the hell is this all about? You know, it's just weird. Anyway, but yeah, I thought he did a good job.
The Oscars somewhere along the line, but I don't know what happened.
It was so. Yeah, it was so good that we decided to talk about Jack Ryan for no reason.
Well, I said Hugh Jackman, but the reason I mentioned it really was, I mean, it wasn't just putting in Hugh Jackman in. I mean, they really did. They did things differently this year. They shook it up. They did try and, well, they're always trying to make it better. They always say they're trying to make it better, make it tighter, listen to people and stuff. Anyone who listened to our actual critique of the show will know that I have never been more angry in my life than when they completely butchered the In Memoriams. Usually my favorite part of the thing, it's the one montage that actually works, that has a point.
Yeah.
And they actually completely butchered it by not even making it basically a plasma screen in the background where we can't see half the people who they're actually paying tribute to, so we can actually watch. Who was it singing? I can't even remember. In the foreground, it was somebody. I've actually completely forgotten who it was.
They were so good, Phil doesn't remember.
Sarah McLachlan? I
don't know. It from memory. They changed it to a musical number, and it made me absolutely furious. They completely fumbled the ball, and they better not do that this year, because I am still here. I am still waiting.
I've got your names and addresses. Academy of Motion
Pictures. Phil, hear me roar.
Oh, you, Phil. Anyway, clearly it didn't piss me off as much as Phil, but apparently I saw a different show than Phil did, I guess.
So other than that, the show was very good.
Yeah. Okay. Not listed on here, but one that came to mind, it's technically not listed, is sort of the Sure Thing sequels that we know are going to happen that might not happen now. Pirates 4 is listed on Phil's list. I'd also put Spider-Man 4. It's not turned into a sure thing anymore about either one of those movies, because, you know, reports coming out that it might not happen, they may not. You know, there was a story from about 2 months ago about Spider-Man 4 halting production. A month ago. I mean, it was from early last month that all work had stopped. Sam Raimi still hadn't gotten it. You know, him and Sony hadn't really agreed on a villain yet, even though filming's supposed to start like in February. It's kind of bad, you know. And then Pirates 4.
It sounds like Raimi doesn't want to repeat what happened with Spider-Man 3, where he had to shoehorn in the Venom and that. And I think he's putting his foot down this time, which is good. But Sony has to make the picture, right? Because if they don't, then it goes back to Disney.
Well, they'll make it. And the question is, will it be made with Raimi and those actors? And it's looking like it ain't going to happen. I mean, maybe it will, but I believe the report. It makes too much sense. You can't tell me that you're going to figure out all that shit. Like, okay, we'll use this villain. Now let's shoot next month. It's like, you need a little bit more prep time for pulling these villains off. And these movies usually, I mean, I remember... who's the guy who played Sandman? Thomas Hayden. Thank you. He was cast in Sandman like right after he got nominated for the Oscar, and they didn't even shoot that movie till the very next year. It's like that was 2005, like around February 2005. It was like March he got cast, and I think that's what happened. He got cast like in around March. They didn't start shooting that damn movie till like January of 2006. But he was like they had to get him. They had to get him cast that far in advance to get all that shit figured out. Like, you can't tell
when
me.
When they cast him, Vulture was still in the movie. That's how early it was.
That's right, actually. You say that, and that's true. And then, saw how well that worked out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Spider-Man 4 is happening. It's just so weird. And Pirates 4 seems more sure. I think Pirates 4 will probably happen. I just don't think Spider-Man 4 will. At least not with Raimi.
Is it? I mean, let's ask the question everybody wants to know: Is Spider-Man 4 might as well be subtitled Spider-Man 4: The Quest for Peace? Is that how big a disaster we're looking at?
You're saying it could be worse than Spider-Man 3? How's that possible?
Yeah. Oh, anything's possible.
It's like we say they insert footage of the 70s TV show to cut the costs down. That's how bad it could.
Which would be really awesome.
Spider-Car?
Spider-Car? Actually, it would be bad if they brought in Spider-Ham. Then we're in trouble.
Yes.
And I made that reference and no one gets it. And fuck you all for not getting it, because I really figured you all knew Spider-Ham. I'm in a class of my own. So it's not looking good for Spider-Man. But that's stuff that happened in 2009. We'll see what happens this year, in 2010. Since Hollywood officially starts, I guess Hollywood opens back up tomorrow. We record this on a Sunday. Pretty much things should be back to normal by tomorrow or Tuesday. So, you know, maybe shit will happen. I doubt it. We'll see. Phil, what do you got?
Let's see. Well, Jamie made a very interesting point midway through the year when it turned out that we actually got... You could say the unfilmable finally happened. We finally got Watchmen. We finally got Avatar.
Right.
And even though it wasn't in development hell as such, we finally got Quentin Tarantino's Inglourious Basterds. And, you know, all three of them were great, whether Jamie likes it or not.
They're all great, and then there's Avatar.
But, no, as far as Jamie was concerned, I mean, I loved Inglourious Basterds, but Jamie beat off... to Inglourious Basterds.
I'm doing it right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, as far as Watchmen was concerned, like I said, the biggest compliment I can pay to Zack Snyder is that, you know, this thing was stuck in development hell for so long, all because apparently it couldn't be made, it was too deep, there was too much to it, and he made it look easy. He made it look like what's taken them so long, apart from the visual effects, obviously. You know, you couldn't do Dr. Manhattan as well until, you know, recently. But apart from that, he just made it look, you know, easy. It's a great story. He tells it well. There wasn't a single point where I was confused. This is not Dune. This is not David Lynch's
Dune.
Thank God. And, you know, I can understand why some people don't like it. I think they, as far as the ending is concerned, they kind of fumbled the ball just a little bit. But it's still, he pulled it off. I think we got consensus on that.
I think he totally pulled off. Great movie. I mean, you know, it was, I think it was, I don't know who said it, maybe it was Kevin Smith, someone said, like, you know, it was one of those things where after 300 he can make any movie he wanted to, and he made Watchmen. He wanted to do it the way he wanted to. So, I mean, that's great, man. I hope that Sucker Punch, since Watchmen bombed, I really hope that Sucker Punch can kind of get him back to the commercial standpoint, making a commercial hit that people like. Although I don't know where that stands either. That seems to be another one where they keep saying, oh, yeah, it's happening, and then I don't even know where that stands. Are they filming it now or what? I don't know. I'm curious about that. But
What about his 300 sequel? Wasn't he going to do that too? Or
I always thought that was more talk more than anything else. Mm. I never really bought into that one. I don't know what you would do with a 300 sequel or prequel or whatever.
Is 301? I don't know.
301 Dalmatians, yeah. We're going to call it. Glenn Close can play the lead part.
I like Watchmen. I think the first 15, 20 minutes are pretty well spot on perfection. I think he kind of lost the thread a little bit. I guess I was most disappointed because these characters were really just normal people doing superhero things, but in the movie, they all seemed to have superpowers, and it was kind of like, well, you kind of lost the thread of what the original story was, but beyond that, visually and everything else, he did a hell of a job with it. But the first 15, 20 minutes, I got no complaints about it. I can't really think of a more impressive opening sequence, except for maybe Star Trek. But
Or Up.
Or Up. Yep.
Yeah.
Good opening prologues. Yep.
Yeah, it's been the year of the great opening sequences to really great movies, where the movie doesn't
be an Oscar category.
I'm starting to think that. It's pretty good actually. So. You know, like I said, I hope he can get back. I mean, it sounds so silly, but it's true. I mean, like, you know, Watchmen did not do well. It pretty much tanked domestically. It had a very good opening weekend, albeit a lot of advanced buzz and a lot of jerk-off comments about how huge it was going to be and, you know, never was going to be. It did about as much as it was realistically going to pull in, but it was still not much. I mean, about 100 and change, which it ain't much. Not nowadays, particularly for a movie like this that was made for, like, what, 150? So, yeah, not that awesome.
But if somebody asked me, like, if you recommended a Zack Snyder film, I'd still go with Dawn of the Dead himself.
Yeah, I would too, actually.
I love that movie. It's an awesome film.
And it's ironic because, I mean, you know, I love the original Dawn of the Dead. It's one of my top five films of all time, and yet the remake's awesome. I would totally tell people, go watch both. Yes. You'll enjoy both a lot. Although, again, the kids nowadays would probably hate the original Dawn of the Dead. They'd be like, that was stupid. They were blue. They would. I mean, it's like, that was fake. It's like, shut the fuck up. That movie's awesome. Damn kids. I wouldn't say that. But, you know, you get what I'm saying.
Absolutely.
We're old is what we're saying here.
Some more than others.
I know. Back when we watched it on VHS, what's that stand for? Yeah. Is that a TV station? No.
Yeah, or we actually had to live by the TV guide and camp out and wait for the show to come on the air.
What's TV guide? You know,
that was a magazine, so.
Well, that was back when it was a little book. You know, even now, it's
like
a magazine
Bible.
It was shaped like a Bible. You thought like you're about to start reading from like, you know, Jesus, and Jesus said, Magnum P.I. at 5. You know, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's before you had channels devoted to, showing you the schedule. So.
Right. I mean, it's so weird now. I mean, I'm sure there's like a channel somewhere dedicated to, VH1 top 100 list. Just a whole channel just to that. Coming up next is VH1's 100. I just watched that. actually, like last night, they redid their 100 most shocking moments in rock and roll or music. And, you know, I realized why they did it, because they wanted to include Michael Jackson on there, him dying. According to them, that was more shocking than John Lennon being shot down. I kind of disagree with that, but that's just me. Maybe, Lou, you would like to step in. It has nothing to do with movies, but I figured, fuck it.
Yes, I would definitely. John Lennon being shot above that, definitely.
I mean, go ahead.
It's so funny that, yeah, because now you bring that point up. I mean, a couple nights ago, I was just kind of farting around on YouTube, and I said, you know, I haven't heard this song for a while, and I started to go through stuff, and I thought, you know, I haven't seen stuff like this since I was a teenager. I think you guys probably, this is a Canadian show, it was called Here Come the 70s, and it was like a chick walking, and it was like a tech show, but the opening montage was like, we were talking about this, it was like a naked blonde chick from the backside walking into Lake Ontario, and there was this like synthesizer music track, and I hadn't heard that song since I was a kid. And I found it on YouTube, and it was just like, holy shit, man, like there's stuff on here. You know, so, like it gives you very different viewpoints of like how time, what's important. So like when somebody puts a certain event about like a John Lennon, a killing, like it's number two. The internet.
Yeah.
It just gives you a very different perspective of when you can immediately access these things. Whereas when I was growing up, you know, like you'd wait months for like a story to break on a newspaper or a magazine or to watch a TV show was like an event, because if you missed it, you were screwed, because it wasn't coming back on for, you know, until a rerun started in the fall. So it's so different now. And nobody probably cares about that but me, but there you go.
No, I mean, it's true. I mean, it's just weird, though. I mean, like, you know, we talked about VHS. I made a joke about VHS, but back then, you know, you waited, what, like a year and a half for a movie to come out on VHS? Nowadays, it's like 2 months.
3 months. Yeah.
I mean,
it's not already the day after, you know?
Yeah, with some movies, yeah. I mean,
yeah. I don't know if they're ever going to move to the day and date. I remember John over at the movie blog was talking about that happening. Like, he said they should be able to watch the movie and then walk out in the lobby and buy the DVD on the way out. I don't know if we're ever going to get to that.
We'll never get to that. No.
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 Yeah.
There,
yeah.
You know, as much as I bitch about, you know, fucktards with their cell phones and stuff and people bringing in babies and et cetera, et cetera, you're never going to be able to replicate the movie-going experience. Never. And that's why I always love going to the cinema. Just, you know, any movie. You can never top that. And, you know, yeah, we've talked about Avatar plenty of times, but the success of that movie kind of proves it. I mean, you can't replicate that kind of experience, whether or not you liked or loved or hated the movie. That's beside the point. You cannot redo that on home video. At all. Yeah. I don't care how advanced your system is.
Exactly.
That's part of the process.
For those three Christmases when we had the Lord of the Rings movies come
out. That's right.
Those were major events. And even like The Dark Knight was probably the last movie that I got kind of the same buzz from the crowd before the picture started, because, you know, everybody was hyped to see this. Like, you can't get that at home.
No, you never will.
I think that's what studios count on, the kind of movie where the word of mouth that filters back is when people who've been to see it at the theater, they speak to their friends who haven't, and the friends say, well, I might catch it as a rental. And they say, no, you're an idiot if you wait for rental. You do not wait for this on DVD. You have to see it this way. That's what they count on for these movies that cost $500 million, if they do.
Well, still, I mean, it's just, you know... You know, I don't fear that. I mean, like, we don't know how far technology will go. I mean, they say they're going to try to do, like, a 3D Blu-ray for Avatar. And, like, yeah, I'm sure they'll figure out how to do it right and shit. But it's like, it won't be the same. For people who love the movie, it won't be the same. It really won't. I don't think so.
That movie's probably going to have kind of re-releases like a Polar Express, probably. If it's certainly popular enough to get that kind of repeat business. We'll see.
The Nugget Express.
As a segue, I just want to, as an item, I just want to repeat what a wonderful year it's been for science fiction at the movies.
It
has. We've had Star Trek, we've had Avatar, you can throw in
District
Watchmen.
9.
We've had District 9 and Moon. And I'm going to throw it over to Captain Ed Hocken here, who regularly preaches every Sunday about District 9, I believe. I think he loves it more than any of us. So, Ed, tell us again, how awesome was District 9?
Well, District 9 was unbelievable. I don't think the experience can be... it was something to have seen in the theater, and you know, I was grateful to have seen it on the big screen, because I was completely floored. I had not... I had not had an experience like that probably since The Dark Knight, and that was expected. But it was just very surprising. I mean, I was interested in the concept when I had read about it, just because, as I had said earlier, that we're seeing something I haven't seen really on film before, a South African movie, South African science fiction movie, and set in the slums of Johannesburg. So,
yeah.
You know, where would you, you've never seen something like that before. It's like, oh, I got to check this out. And, you know, I tried to actually avoid the spoilers on this for once, and it was something, all right. I mean, I have not seen it on DVD, but I just haven't brought myself. I actually considered buying it. I just haven't done it yet. I just haven't bought much in the way of DVDs. So
you and me too, brother.
Yeah,
I watched the Blu-ray, and let me tell you something. I mean, it is a movie. It improved for me on the second viewing because it is a movie of details. There's a lot there to see that you didn't see the first time. And, of course, knowing the twists, knowing where it's going, for me, it actually helps the movie in this case. You actually know what to – it's one of those movies where you know what to look for.
And yet we talk about all this, and the reason why we talk about this is because of the amazing performance by Sharlto Copley. In his first movie. Yeah, I mean, like, my God, how
not
fantastic
an actor.
Is he? Not even, well,
no, not an actor.
Well, he is now.
He is now.
He is now, but, you know, the guy was not known for that sort of thing. He was just friends with the director, and he was a TV executive, so. Right.
Now he's, you know, pays to be buddies with a filmmaker, apparently. Yeah, I mean, I don't know what kind of career he's going to have as an actor in the future. I mean, obviously he'll get gigs and shit, but I kind of think he's going to stick behind the camera for the most part. Like, he'll have a successful producing career, I really do think. But as an actor, as great as he is in Sherlock, as great as he was in Sherlock Holmes, and great as he was in District 9, and I think he'll be great in, you know, A-Team. I think it's going to be behind the camera that he has his real career, to be honest. Seems like a good guy. Seems like a dude who has his head on his shoulders, who knows, like, who's not an idiot. It's like, yeah, this won't last forever. I need to take the opportunities that are in front of me. Go ahead, Phil.
Well, again, it's just to say, I mean, if you watch that movie again, we praise all the performances of the year, but all those actors got to stay clean. This poor guy had to go through so much in this movie.
Going back to what I just to briefly bring up Avatar one more time, the fact that, I mean, that, you know, District 9, you were able to you could see the grit coming off of it, you know, just how gross it really was. Everything in Avatar had a very clean look, surprisingly. I mean, just the amount of filth this guy had to go through was unbelievable. And that's what made, you know, to me, makes District 9 even better.
Well, it's terrifying. When he first uses that weapon, they force him to use the weapon against the prawn. Yeah. You're scared just as
you
much as he
is. You don't get any of that sort of thing in Avatar. Not at all. You know, that's a big problem, but enough of constantly bringing them up, but you know, I just want to mention.
I was talking about the vomiting. I mean, the amount
that too.
Vomiting.
Oh, yeah, a lot of black food.
Yeah.
Yeah, and a lot of cat food. Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah. Ooh. Well, I'm sure it wasn't real. Well, maybe
I don't know, dude. There was some real. I mean, you know. Oh well, it's what it was. Great movie. Check it. Is what we're trying to say is check it out. Yeah.
And Moon as well. Please
see
Moon.
Yeah, I mean, that's another one where you just go, come on, let's. But I can't really think of any other news items. I don't. Is there anything else? I see one more major one to bring up. I think the other one's kind of, unless you want to bring it up, Phil. But I think the last major story is the return of the directors, which, you know, filmmaker starts up with what becomes a franchise, sort of helps define them. And then they go off to other things. Sometimes they succeed, sometimes they don't. All the joys have nuts, mounts don't. You know, that kind of stuff. This year, two big ones. Ridley Scott is returning to the Alien franchise with an Alien prequel, and Bryan Singer is returning to X-Men with an X-Men prequel. Well, you know, you guys know my fuck prequel mentality. I just don't like them. I think, particularly when you're trying to connect them to other movies that already happened, you're not going to really be able to succeed. It's just too much connecting the dots bullshit, which, you know what, the Star Wars prequels have that problem, and they didn't have anywhere near as imagined. You know, I like Phantom Menace. I think it's the most Star Warsy of the three, probably because Lucas wasn't trying to connect the dots so much in that one. But that's another time. But it's weird seeing them return to this franchise. I mean, obviously, X-Men First Class will get made. I'm not so certain that an Alien prequel is going to happen, though. But it's weird to see them back, though. I really didn't think Singer was returning, because what started that story was he made one offhand comment about, yeah, I would like to return to X-Men. But that doesn't mean anything. That's so non-news. Because you know what? Any director's going to say that. I'm sure if you asked Bryan Singer, hey, you want to do another Superman movie? He'd say, yeah, I would. And that's not really newsworthy either, because that's not happening. So I kind of thought the same thing. So I guess this is the 0.0001% that actually happened. The rare exception. Like, it actually did happen. He's going to return to X-Men. Not excited about it, though. I don't know
what
you guys
think. That's what I find fascinating about it. I mean, the reaction from people, it's been pretty much like yourself. You would think that people would be jumping for joy that Bryan Singer's returning to X-Men, but actually, people don't care anymore. And I don't know if it's that people don't care about Bryan Singer's work anymore, because a lot of people were disappointed by Superman Returns,
right.
Or it's the fact that people feel the same way as you do, Jamie, that X-Men should be shot in the head at this point.
I think it's both. I think it's a little bit of both, but if I had to put my money on it, it'd be more of X-Men. It's just that franchise, man. I mean, you've had two installments now that people didn't like, that people hated, actually, and I don't know what else you can do. I mean, they're doing the Wolverine sequel, obviously. And a lot of people say, you know what, if Brian's going to come back, let him do the Wolverine sequel. Because there he can work with Hugh again. He can work with Chris McQuarrie again. That makes more sense. And I wouldn't disagree with that. Granted, I don't care about either one of them. But if I had to pick, I'd say, yeah, fine, goddammit, let him do the Wolverine sequel. But X-Men the First Class, you know, no thank you.
It's talking about Alien, what I find interesting about this is you were saying, Jamie, how if James Cameron film in the future that he makes bombs, then he'll make Avatar 2 so he can get back in the game, as it will get out of director jail.
That's what happened. Well, not director jail, but that's sort of what happened with the Terminator 2.
Yeah.
I mean, Abyss, now I said that, Abyss did not bomb. Abyss made money, but it was kind of not as big as I guess you could say, like Superman Returns. Like, it made a lot of money, but it didn't make as much as expected, I guess is the best way to put it. Kind of like that's what happened with The Abyss. It didn't do as well as expected, and all of a sudden it's like, yeah, I'm going to do Terminator 2 now. Wasn't that convenient? suddenly want to do it? You know. Go ahead.
Well, how it relates to Alien is how, I mean, Ridley Scott's film that he's got out now is going to be Robin Hood. I can't think of a film, save probably for Prince of Persia, but apart from that, I can't think of a film that is getting less enthusiasm this summer than Robin Hood.
Well, because Robin Hood was already done. It was called Gladiator. It's too late. This should have been years ago.
Well, the other problem is it's opening the week after Iron Man 2, and no matter how good that movie's going to be, it's going to kick its ass in the second weekend. There's no doubt about that. Like, yeah, I know I made predictions that have been right and others that have been wrong, but this is the one, more than anything else, I think we can all agree with me on, is Iron Man 2 will eat, you know, Robin Hood alive in the second weekend. Is anyone going to disagree with me on this one? Because I don't see anyone's going to do that. Not this time.
No, I
will disagree with you. For the sake of disagreement. What I will say is that I think it's too early to tell, man.
It is
all
too early.
On
that's
the reviews.
True.
If the reviews are good for Robin Hood, I can see it being number one, but literally by a few pennies. Like, literally, it will make 40, and Iron Man 2 will make 39. That kind of thing will happen. But I'm going to say it will do it well.
If Ridley Scott can come up with some kick-ass sort of medieval knight uniforms that kind of rival the Iron Man suit, then he might have a shot. But other than that, I think pretty safe with Iron Man 2.
Oh, yeah, I
think
still see it.
Frivolous at this point.
We're being anti-Ridley Scott here. Our bias is so sharp.
The man wants to do a Monopoly movie. He's lost his mind.
I think he's... But, you know, that Monopoly description, I have to say, like, as horrible as it's going to be, it's like, yeah, I'd pay to see that. I'm not going to lie, man.
You go.
But would you rather see that or Battleship?
I'd rather see Battleship.
I'd rather see Battleship, yeah.
Battleship, you can actually see a plot coming out of Battleship.
Exactly. Yeah, just hear some douchebag go, you stop my Battleship. Yeah, because it's going to be in the movie, sadly. You know,
Alien. You can still be the guy, Jamie. Let people know you want that part. You've still got time.
Mr. Berger, if you're listening right now.
No.
They haven't cast it yet. They're getting in the process of it. It comes out next August. And I say next August as in 2011, not 2010. Meh.
The last thing we want to discuss tonight is Jamie wants us all to make some kind of bold prediction about 2010 about what might happen in movie news related. Jamie's got a hell of a ballsy prediction. I don't think he's right, but I love him for that. Let's hear it, Jamie. What are you saying?
I am going to make the insane prediction that, and I acknowledge that it probably won't happen, but it could. I think that the Oscars 3 months, I think, or 4 months from now, Inglourious Basterds will take home Best Picture and Director. And it's very simple. We've seen, in fact, the previous decade we just ended, we saw two instances where very well-loved, established filmmakers who hadn't really won before, at least in the major categories, did a film that was critically acclaimed, was very, very successful commercially. Audiences really enjoyed them. And what happened was the other movies that were preordained to win, that were going to, oh, it's going to dominate because we say so, didn't happen. Those movies, of course, were Dreamgirls, that comes to mind, Charlie Wilson's War. Those movies didn't dominate. They kind of fizzled out. And the movies I speak of are The Departed and No Country for Old Men. I predict that will happen with Bastards. I think that will end up the other movies that everyone's preordained to be huge are going to fizzle out. And there's already been a lot of there's already been a lot of word that Precious and Up in the Air are starting to seriously fizzle out. So that pretty much takes two out, leaves Avatar, which, again, not talking about the quality of the movie, but it's not winning Best Picture. The Academy made the exception 1 year, which was Return of the King, to give it to a genre film, a fantasy film, if you will. They're not going to do it again. I don't care how much money it made. And then that would only realistically leave the Hurt Locker. So you've got Hurt Locker versus Bastards. And, you know, Bastards has the director with Tarantino. It's more commercial. Audiences loved it. I'm not knocking Hurt Locker. I've not seen it yet. But I think I'm going to put my money on this and say my prediction for 2010 is that Bastards wins Best Picture and Director.
Unless Catherine Bigelow wins for Best Director.
That's what I think is going to happen.
You think it'll be a split?
Hurt Locker's got some good is very, very good. And I wonder if that's going to pick something up.
It'll pick something up. It'll get nominated. Tarantino will win for screenplay. I think there's no doubt about that. And obviously, Christoph Waltz is going to win for supporting actor. So it's got those two in its back pocket. Already got them. But I think I could see Tarantino win Best Director too. To be honest,
because it's possible that the Hurt Locker would win Best Director, and then Bastards wins Best Picture,
or vice versa.
Yeah.
Well, that's going to piss off Tarantino probably. I mean,
no.
I know he's not the only. Well, he's not the only director. I'm not speaking with, but I do know there are certain directors who feel like it's literally makes no sense for a film to win Best Picture, but not Best Director.
I agree with that.
Ridley Scott is one of those guys. Gladiator won Best Picture, but he didn't win Best Director, and he's really pissed off about that. To this day, he's pissed off about that.
Well, I can't really. I feel his pain, but then again, I look at Traffic and I go, yeah. And I loved Gladiator. Even I'm just like, yeah, Traffic was, you know, really great movie too. So, oh well. What do you guys? Any predictions from you guys, or am I the lone man out here?
Yeah, I mean, what do you think about that new format of the 10 movies? Think that'll last, or
the what?
10 movies for Best Picture?
Oh, I don't think it'll last. No. No. I don't think so. I don't see how it can. I mean, there's a lot of people saying that even this year it feels like a stretch getting 10 movies in the category. Because the problem is you get like a year like a 2007 or 2004 where there's so many great movies, and it's like, God, if only we had 10 slots for Best Picture. And this year, I mean, it's been a really great year, but it's not a 2007. That was an amazing year. And this was a really good year. I'm not saying it wasn't. It was a great year.
Right.
But I don't know. That's the way I see it. What do you guys think?
I don't know. I'm thinking about this in relation to Up, because obviously Up is the film.
Yes.
It's my favorite film of the year. I think it's got just as much. Oh, good, great. I think it's got just as much chance to win Best Picture as any. Well, it should do in a perfect world.
It should
have as much chance to win Best Picture as anything. thank you. I mean, ideally, what I'd like to see happen is that Up is nominated for Best Picture. If it doesn't win, at least it being in the Best Picture category permanently dissolves the Best Animated Feature category. But then you've got the problem that if that happens, then people will say, well, in that case, a Pixar film can never win Best Picture. because it's never in, there's no best animated feature category. It'll only ever be in best picture, and the Academy voters will never ever allow an animated feature to be best picture. So there's a bit of a problem there.
They made that weird exception with Return of the King, and it makes me wonder, like, when would they ever make an exception for an animated movie to get best picture to? And I really wonder that. And it would have to be for a Pixar movie, but it's like, well, what would it be?
This year there have been too many other good films. I mean, there's a lot of competition, I'll say that.
Well, even for animated movie, I mean, a lot of people thought Fantastic Mr. Fox was great. I mean, I haven't seen it. I'm not knocking it, but, I mean, obviously, they didn't say it was
better than best picture material, though.
No, I mean, I'm talking about best animated movie, like, in terms of that category. But,
oh, right, yeah.
You know, but...
I liked that way better than that.
Okay.
I don't understand the praise for Fox, maybe because of the director's history with his other movies, but it was okay, but it's not...
God, it sounds like... You know, it sounds like another movie, Ed and I have been talking about. What's it called? Oh, Avatar. Weird.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Avatar, the bigger stick.
Bigger stick. True. $500 million stick. I agree. You got me there. Any other predictions, gentlemen? Come on. Let's hear something. We'll wrap this up.
I think
Hurt Locker will win Best Picture.
Okay.
That's a good call.
What do you think? Do you think it'll be a split between Catherine and like that? And
no, I think she'll get both.
Okay.
And I think because a week before they do the voting, Jim Cameron's going to throw his hat behind that picture because he used to go out with the director.
Well, I mean, Avatar's going to get nominated for Best Picture and Director. I mean, he's getting I mean, it's not like he's going to be like, oh, I don't want to win. It's like, of course he wants to win. It's like Clint Eastwood. You know, he gets nominated too many times. The movies aren't that good as they want to. That's another director. People just fucking suck his dick just for the fucking worst movies. Like Changeling. And another one that I won't discuss because Phil loved it.
That would be my alternate pick. That I don't think that Avatar or Cameron are going to get nominated for Best Picture and Director.
You don't think so? I think it totally. Yeah. I think it's a foregone
conclusion. I think technical awards it'll be right up there, but for Best Director,
yeah,
I can't see that.
Oh, it totally will.
If it were five nominees, it wouldn't. Not a chance. Not a chance.
No, even if it were five, I think it would be nominated at this point for Best Picture.
Really? Yeah. That's interesting.
I think it totally would, yeah. But there's also the argument that, you know what?
That's weird. Me and Phil like the movie.
I know.
But you hate it. You're saying he would get it.
Well, I mean, the thing about it is it's kind of like when everyone's talking about Up being nominated for this year for Best Picture, and it kind of goes that about Dark Knight. I mean, it pissed off a lot of people that Dark Knight didn't get nominated for Best Picture. It wasn't a big deal for me. Yeah, I thought Dark Knight was great, but I was like, well, I would have preferred Wally or Wrestler being nominated. So it wasn't a big deal for me. But you know, there's all the sort of making up for it. You know, that's what it kind of feels like. Don't know.
But Cameron just—I mean, he swept with his last movie with Titanic. They
don't
really owe him anything. Like at this point, I don't know.
I don't know.
I'm surprised if he's not there, but we'll see.
Fair enough. What's your prediction, Phil?
Well, I don't have any Oscar predictions at this point.
Or
I think as far as – I'm definitely going to say Kathryn Bigelow is a lock for director. She's going to win Best Director for sure. I'm certain of that. I'm absolutely certain.
You heard it here, folks.
As far as – absolutely. It's, absolutely loved it.
Okay.
Here's one. I'm going to predict that the Prince of Persia movie, is going to be this year's G.I. Joe. And when I say that, what I mean is we are going to hear stories leading up to release how this movie is absolutely fucking terrible. They're on damage control, reshoots and stuff, and yet me and Jamie will see it, and we'll say it's retardedly awesome. I'm going to guarantee that right now.
Well, Jamie, he's going to go see a Monopoly movie, then Prince of Persia.
That's true, actually.
Well, yeah. But then again, Jamie didn't waste his money on Transformers, so don't knock him. He's a man of subtaste.
But he did on Mario.
Some.
But I did what?
Yeah.
Mario Brothers.
Don't hold that against me.
He was 10 at the time.
Yeah.
The sins of the father, buddy.
I'm going to say, and I've said this before, Jamie, I think I'm right in this, Jamie. You think Iron Man 2 is going to be the biggest grosser of the summer. I think it's going to be Toy Story 3.
I think Iron Man 2
will open higher, no doubt about that. But I think Toy Story 3 is going to have more legs. I think it's going to kill in the same way way that, you know, depressingly enough, Ice Age 3 killed this year, Toy Story 3. If it doesn't, if Toy Story 3 does not make Ice Age 3 money, then I'm going to stab someone.
Well, you know, and you know what its direct competition is in that market is,
yes,
Shrek 4. Search for more money.
Both will do well.
Shrek will do well. Will it do 300 million domestic? Well, I don't know. I mean, people didn't. I don't. Did people like the third one? I didn't. I mean, I don't know what everyone else thought, but I thought.
See it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's another one. Luke can hold me against it. We pay money to see Shrek 3. Asshole.
And he doesn't have kids.
Yeah, that's true. I don't have children. I'm not married.
He's a nephew, anyhow.
True. touche.
And I'm also going to say, Jamie and I talked about this off air. I think it's a practical certainty at this point that poor old Captain America is not going to make it for. Are they saying 2011 at this point?
Yeah, it's still 2011. July 2011.
Not a chance.
Well, they had that thing that came out. So, like, oh, we're going to start shooting in June of this year, of 2010, but we'll see.
They don't have a thing. I have not heard a thing that they have a completed script. They might do, but I've not heard it. Where it's opposed to Thor, where we keep hearing about the script and how it's great and all of that. They don't have a single person cast, as opposed to Thor, which has a completely full cast. They got nothing. All they've got is Joe Johnston and some concept art. That's all we know. There's no way it's going to hit 2011. No way it's going to get pushed back. And, of course, because of the whole domino effect of how it's all building up to an Avengers movie, that affects the complete schedule. You know, so everything goes back a year.
Avengers is currently scheduled for May 2012. They actually originally said 2011. So, yeah, it could go back another summer. And also that in itself would extend the distribution deal. Or, like, drag it out, because, you know, they have a distribution deal set up with Paramount right now, Marvel does. Once that's done, it goes back to Disney. So, yeah, they might want to drag this out as much as possible. You're right about that.
And, of course, I mean, if, you know, Iron Man 2 does well, then that means that probably, that, you know, you'll have an Iron Man 3 for 2012 in the same year as Captain America. So you'll have the Iron Man trilogy, and then you go into the Avengers, and the poor old Hulk's just waiting for the Avengers movie so he can actually get to do something again.
Hulk.
But I believe this is what's going to happen.
Hulk need job!
Hulk need job, indeed.
Indeed. Hulk have family to feed.
Hulk need green.
It's funny.
And actually, I'm going to throw in another prediction, and this is pretty bold, but I believe it that Joe Johnston is going to get the boot from that film. Jamie, I don't think Jamie agrees with me on this, but I really don't think he's going to last on that project. We just heard nothing, and I think he's going to leave Captain America.
Then who's going to replace him, Steven Summers?
It'll be... you know what? It's not a bad choice.
He's already signed up for enough movies. Why not?
Maybe it'll be Blomkamp. Don't rule it out.
Ridley Scott.
Yeah, Ridley Scott. There you go.
Yeah, could be. Could be.
George Lucas, Captain America.
Well, I'm actually Captain America, and that would have been any of those things.
I think Thor's going to surprise people. I really do. I just, you know, something about it just seems like, I don't know what it is. Same thing with the Star Trek reboot. I was like, I don't know, man. I think it's going to surprise people. I got the same hunch with Thor. And I could be dead wrong. We'll see.
One final prediction. The A-Team train. I've got a lot of them. I'm just spooling them off.
That's fine. That's great.
The A-Team trailer is going to make me cream myself. That's my last prediction. Wow. There you go. I think that's a safe bet.
Okay.
Well, no, I'm just thinking, don't you think, but I mean, it's not just that they're going to have
the theme.
It's not just they're going to have the theme. They're going to have a full orchestral version of the theme. I know Michael Giacchino isn't scoring the A-Team, but I don't know
You wish he was, but he...
You wish he was, yeah. But it's when they're going to play a full orchestral version of the A-Team, I'm going to just die. I'm just going to die. It's going to be great.
Where's the one?
James Horner version.
Yes. With a song. Yeah. With lyrics.
Well, speaking of that song at the end of Avatar, Nick Nunziata was right. That was garbage. Oh,
yeah.
My God.
It was bad. I agree.
What the hell was that?
It was marketing.
I feel like
it was marketing.
Rusty after seeing Homer and Worker and Parasite just standing there.
It's gonna win best song.
What we're trying to say, what we're trying to say is Ed didn't like Avatar. I think it was what he's trying to say.
Can't beat that enough, really.
Can we be more clear?
Edgar Wright will score another one with Scott Pilgrim. I think there's gonna be some reservation. If not, it's gonna be a cult classic.
If I had to pick one movie, like the movies I'm looking forward to the most, that would be my short list. It would be like Inception. Number one would be Toy Story 3. Inception, and then Scott Pilgrim, actually. Because something about that movie, I want to see how this movie's going to look more than anything else. It's like Avatar, the whole mystery about it. It's like, well, how the fuck's this going to look? I'm the same way with Scott Pilgrim. And, like, there's one picture, I think we've seen the cast. I'm curious how the hell he's going to pull this off.
Yeah,
I hope he does.
I think that is going to be the question of the year. That is the most anticipated, for me, most anticipated movie of the year. Is Scott Pilgrim.
And we don't even have a release date yet. It's coming out in Phil's neck of the woods in August, presume. And I think they want to make it day and date. I believe I heard that somewhere. So that's the case. Hey, we get it too. That's great. Something tells me it might be a little sooner or a little later. I don't know. If we start seeing it come out in September, then we got problems, knowing the history of studios dumping garbage in that month. But if it's August, you know, it could still be worthwhile. Plenty of good movies come out in August, like Glorious Bastards. And District 9. We'll see. Anyway, I guess it wraps it up. You know, it was fun. Thought we'd just do a little bonus show for you folks. Hope you enjoyed it. We had a good time doing it, talking about the year. See, that's why we stopped and didn't record it. We would have been an extra hour going over, and it would have been a really long show. Eric, just, you know, so by the
we
time
we like James Cameron, we want to give you a reasonable length.
Exactly. Think like Abrams on Star Trek. Make it tight, you know, or Neil Blomkamp on District 9. We'd like you to think of us like that. So anyway.
Or the King Kong Peter Jackson version.
Yeah, the extended version, because apparently King Peter Jackson felt like it wasn't long enough. We need to have more set pieces.
We need an hour setup.
More Jack Black with, like, big eyes. I got visions, you know. with that, guys, hey, thanks for listening. You have a great week, presumably, or whenever the hell we post this. You have a great whatever. See you next week, guys. Bye.
Bye.
Bonjour.
If your head should fall.